Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, on this pretty sunny day. I think it's about maybe 68. Not too bad for this time of year. My God, what a crazy year we've had. And we're only getting started. So I'm talking to a friend of mine yesterday, a very amazing person. And she said something utterly brilliant in our conversation. She was just riffing. And I had to stop her and say, that's brilliant. Did you hear that somewhere else? She said, oh, no, I just made that up. I'm like, even more brilliant. And it's the title of this episode, The Great Giveaway. The Great Giveaway is a reference to the inverse of the Great Awakening. And what's interesting about it is the phraseology of the statement is utterly perfect in my opinion, which is there is a group of us who I think are mentally stable, at least enough, and we recognize and respect history. We also have done some due diligence from time to time to figure out what really happened in various areas of the world at various times. And we're always searching and we're always comparing notes because we really want the truth. But we understand that we have been birthed out of our mothers and we have gone through phases of childhood, adolescence, pre-adolescence, adulthood, et cetera, et cetera. And now we are trying to engage reality outside of our mother's womb and figure out how this thing works. And then I think there's quite comfortably in separate group of people, a very small group of people, but enough to be noticed in society. And they are trying to crawl back in their womb. They weren't ready to be birthed, or they found the outer world to be too terrifying, and they just, like a little cat, they want to crawl inside some space and have the comfort of four walls, a floor, and maybe a little peaky door to look through every once in a while, right? When they're not scared of reality. This statement tied a lot of things together because I watch people wear those strangulation things on their face that destroy your brain cells and put your body in an absolute inverted acidic state, blows out your alkaline levels. You get necrosis in your neurons in your brain over time. Everything struggles to exist with one of those little things on your face. And yet some people like them. They'll get into their car and then they still have them on and they're all by themselves. I mean, maybe they technically put one on and they can't figure out how to ever get it off, so it just stays there. Who knows? But why am I saying that these people want to go back into the womb? What's the thing? Well, what is freedom? What is freedom in, say, a movement analogy? You have mobility. You can get around. You can make things happen, right? You can go left, right, front, back, up, down. All the combinations therein. And for a lot of us, that is a very appealing way to live. And that's the very first iteration of freedom. Being born, getting outside your mother's womb, and enjoying the freedom. As crazy as it might be, as scary as it might be, as ugly as your relatives might be, it's better to be outside than stuck inside. Even though that was probably a fairly good experience for some of us, right? I have no memory if I liked it or not. I tend to really enjoy being born. Your second tier of freedom would be meeting other people and gaining that beautiful feedback between two souls. Staring in someone's eyes. Pushing your chest against someone else's and feeling your heart beat. And but more importantly, feeling your souls just wrap around each other like the tails in Avatar. It's beautiful. So we tend to have a theme to our lives to spread our wings and be free. But there's another group of people, for whatever reason, whether it's some prenatal situation where when they're still in their mother's wombs, their moms are playing them some sweet music and they just don't want to leave, or maybe it has nothing to do with the differential between wombs, between our two groups. Maybe it is that once they were born, their household was so perverted that crawling back inside seems like a pretty good idea. could be something on the level of, hey, parents were good people, but they weren't that educated. So I got into a bunch of trouble, a bunch of bad situations. And boy, I just like to crawl back up into the womb because there's no bills up there. No responsibility. Entitlement is even moot because you just suck your thumb and go through that umbilical cord to get lunch, you know? But now, I'm going to focus on this idea of the great giveaway. It's a fantastic phrase because in it, just a couple words, we now can communicate with others very quickly about what we think at least is occurring from our end. Let me ask you, have you ever given someone, either a friend, I'm going to stick with friend, some friend comes over your house, and maybe you've known her for a long time, maybe for whatever reason, but you're really good friends at that moment, and you got a lot of knickknacks in your house, right? And have you ever just picked up something, you know, that your friend says, man, that's really nice, I really like that, and you just pick it up, well, here, take it. I know I've done it a couple times. Okay. Now, there are things where you, there's things that you give away because they have one level of value to you, and then there's other things you don't give away because of the value is too high. Maybe it's even not the monetary value, but it's a sentimentality value. You can't possibly give your grandfather's World War II badge away or whatever. Medal. I want you to keep that in your mind. You don't typically give away things that are worth a lot unless you're dealing with someone who's extremely special. Maybe you can get Mr. Miyagi's secret book, right? But you have to have a connection to go over that basic price level. Why mention that? Because the only way that this other group that is engaged in the great giveaway can actually rationalize giving it away is they don't perceive its true value. To them, it's like, I take that out of here. I think that's ugly. That constitution and my rights, my inalienable rights, which I'm using right now to be the way that I am, complacent, entitled, self-loathing. Yeah, sure. Take that thing that's honesty, goodness, integrity, self-value. It's all right there, but I don't know what it is, so you take it. It just reminds me of what I can't get for some reason in my mind. I think bad parenting is probably the best way to say, what's wrong with the world? It sounds like such a trivial statement that doesn't even take grip in your mind of like really being a real statement, but that's really what it is. Now we're going to catch up a little bit, sort of on what's going on in 2021, just a little bit. I don't want to date this particular episode too much. If you mess up your life, do you need help? And if you haven't messed up your life, do you need as much help? I'm blessed to be in an area where we have the full spectrum of humanity, and obviously there's one spectrum I wish the best to, and another one that is really hurting, like your homeless groups around here. We don't have homeless groups in Orange County. We definitely have a lot of homeless. LA has streets full of people, right? But when you're hurting, you technically need a lot of attention. You need someone to take care of you medically. Then you need someone to feed you. You need someone to shelter you if you can't get these things by yourself. And hey, 2020 kicked everyone in the nuts when we weren't looking, because that's always how cowards pull their conspiracies. And so we're going to be suffering for a while because we have this gigantic group of these people, apparently in control of the media and our military up to this point of February 2nd. Is allowing the Constitution to get gang raped in some horrible movie. But we'll look back on that in a bit. Well, if you have a support system in your neighborhood for these various groups that are seen to be suffering a little bit, or just take the groups that aren't suffering, kids go to school and they have really good teachers, and we have police forces that come and help us out, you know, from time to time. I know that varies in different locations. Then they, you know, then we can kind of operate without thinking about it. You guys know that. We always run the analogy of like, hey, you really think you got control of your life until there's no electricity, and then you realize all your food is coming from that source, you know, and being refrigerated and what have you. So we know that if we lose various core amenities, strategic resources, we could be in the Stone Ages in a couple of years. We know that. But that's not occurring to us. Now, the homeless who have no home, no phone, no nothing, their families have no idea where they are, whether they're dead or alive, they're in a more feral state of need. And we got to do everything we can to help out, man, because these aren't normal times, right? Problem is, we're getting kicked in the nuts now. So the whole idea is those that would give are being strained. You know, and the government has plenty of money to go around. But here, so here's the point I want to make. I think those that go out to protest, those that go out to even loot, to burn down stuff, and I don't care how delusional we all agree that these people are. And I think we can even lump in the scumbags that'll take money to sell out their people. Seems to be a bunch in America at this point, or at least they flew here. We always want to look at the systemic causes of all this crap, right? They're calling out for help. That old statement, right? Sounds like you're crying out for help. Someone who's complaining a lot, and they're really, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to do it, I'm going to really do it. And then it's like, all right, what you're really saying is, we've ignored you, we haven't given you enough interaction, which fair game. Every once in a while you need a lot, and there's just not a lot being given your way voluntarily or serendipitously. And sometimes you do need to say, hey man, I need you, you know? I don't even know what we're supposed to do, but I just need someone next to me. So when I talk, somebody hears me. Sometimes that's all you got to say. And you'll find that people, you know, I mean, think about how many people rescue animals and do all these selfless things, these random acts of kindness, and they're your friends and they're your family, or they're even random strangers you meet. You know, even if you had nobody in your life, nobody, fine. Then find a guy or a girl, whatever sex you are. I recommend you go to the same sex. So there's no fear that you're going to be a weirdo. And then just say, would you mind talking to me? You know? But we don't have those interactions. We're not mature as a society on average. And so they go neglected for a million different reasons of how they got neglected or how and why they feel that like they were neglected. Could be even a PTSD situation that we have the trauma in our chest that something's not right, we don't know. And so we're just trying to reach out. So imagine you get a bunch of these sort of refined black holes together, and then they start combining. They couldn't actually build themselves as a 10-person thing, some alien from the thing. They couldn't combine all their bodies. But together, each one of them completely converted to the monster form can then get together and be a bigger monster. And so they're trying to effect change. A lot of them don't have demands. They don't have anyone running the organization with a measurable IQ, which is a shame. Maybe they even have a decent idea. Anytime a faction comes out that's causing problems, they're damaging property and they're hurting people and threatening people, and they have no demands, then I think that you're going to find that they are an extension of the old formula of the economic hitman, which is you have foreign agitators in your country trying to overthrow your country. They actually don't have any demands. They're only there to cause unrest so that there can be a switcheroo at a different area, a different time. But now let's, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but what I'm trying to equip you guys with, if it's helpful, is a way to actually talk about this with people that completely disagree with you. How many times have you recognized one of these situations where, I'm going to give you a silly analogy, but you've almost every human being who can hear my voice has had this silly analogy actually happen to you. Someone gives you a cupcake, and man, whatever flavor you like, it's that flavor. Frosting is your favorite frosting. If you like sprinkles, it's got sprinkles. If you like something else on there, you like it big, you like it small, it's exactly the one that you love, and you're looking forward to it. You had one earlier in the day, and you're like, you brought one home. in between the time you acquired this second one and pushing it into your pie hole, you drop it. You drop it. You don't have it taken away from you necessarily. You just drop it. Poof. Either drops completely out of in some pile of something that you would never put in your mouth after that, or for whatever reason, it's just gone. You're never ever going to taste that thing. Like, son of a bitch. And it wasn't a common occurrence that you got this thing. It was a special thing. And it took a lot of labor for that thing to be put together the way it was put together. You knew you had something special, and then you lost it. Now, that puts you in one state of mind. You are in a mourning phase now because you know you lost something that was really important to you at that moment. Nah, not the end of the world, of course, just a little sugar you probably shouldn't eat, but whatever. But now, how many times have you said in your lifetime, this other thing, this inverse thing, which is somebody said, I came over to your house and I picked some roses. I'm really sorry. I meant to ask you. Hope it's okay. And you have a lot of roses in your backyard. And so you look around, you go, well, I don't see any missing. So I didn't know they were there and you took them. And so no harm, no foul. I don't feel like anything's missing. Okay, good, man. Thanks. It's great. So something got taken away from you that you didn't know really existed. It wasn't really in your registry. That's another one. It's the benign loss of property. And then there's one where you had some rights and they were taken away from you because you didn't pay attention to it. And for a while there, it didn't seem like it mattered. Then all of a sudden it starts mattering. You have forced medical procedures on your body. You have passports you have to show just across the road. Your kids are being taken away from you and put into some educational camp. You don't even make any money anymore. You just get this food pellet. You know where I'm going with that. Well, now mix all three of those species together into one analogy. And that's the world. Except there's one little difference, okay? In all three of those analogies, it was something that those individuals possessed that then they lost to some mechanism, right? They gave it away. It was taken without their permission, but they didn't realize it was there, so they didn't care. And the other one didn't care and gave it away and found out later it was regretful that they did. The problem with the way that the world is set up today is that I am talking about the rights of humanity, the inalienable rights because you exist. And now they're all on the table. And apparently, again, the corruption of democracy is that two people can vote on what the three of you experience. As a matter of fact, two can vote that the other person doesn't have any rights and they have all the rights. You're voting on your inalienable rights. And let's keep it clear. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can definitely vouch for the United States of America. There's no public office that I'm aware of. And we're not talking about judges and cops that have to have certifications and what have you. But there's no congressman, senator, or president of the United States, or vice president of the United States, and a lot of their cabinet members as well, that have to come with any qualifications. There's no test. How much do you know about France? Oh, I don't know a lot about France, quite frankly. Some basic history and stuff. Well, then you can't be the president or prime minister or chancellor of France. You can't. Doesn't that sound reasonable? But I can tell you right now, if someone who was technically born on perhaps a American soil, American United States Air Force base or Army base, but then quickly left, got their dual citizenship, became a French citizen, don't even know how to speak English. But technically, they're an American as well. They could run for office here in the United States of America, hold local positions first, with barely a command of the English language. Happens all the time in my area. But believe me, I'm not blaming foreigners for this problem. The problem I'm talking about is straight up American grown. People who have grown up here, who don't know a damn thing about the country. I don't even know if AOC could name all the states in the United States if given a map to do so. I mean, I'm seriously, I don't know. But I know that the immigration tests that eligible migrants complete to become a United States citizen is probably beyond the capacity of most 18-year-old graduates of high school in the United States. And I would actually speculate, like, way beyond their IQ. But I would say that your average 18-year-old high school graduate probably has around the same IQ as an entry-level congressman or senator. Now, on one level, that would be actually, I could see how people could construe that as, that's actually a good idea because those people exist in the country and we need constituents to elect people to then be represented. And there are 18-year-old females and males and they need to have their priorities looked out for. Now, we do have an age limit for a lot of positions, but senator, you can go really young. The reason why I'm mentioning this is that we tend to make the wrong assumptions about what affects our life the most. Like I've always told you guys on this show, it's really not the big decisions you make that change your life. It's the millions and millions of teeny tiny decisions that you make that ruin your life. I'll give you an example. Getting married is typically perceived as either a really good idea or a really bad idea, depending on the partner that you hook up with. But if they were the wrong one, you'd be saying, well, of course, the biggest mistake I ever made was marrying that person, that big thing of walking down the aisle and saying, I do. Well, that's definitely where you commensurated your relationship legally. However, if you're marrying the wrong person, there's a few million, if not 100 million decisions you made that led up to that moment, depending on why you're marrying them in the first place. Had those littler decisions been more analyzed, you may have changed partners. And believe me, we've all been there. Okay. We've all been in bad partnerships, even though those people might be great people, they just weren't compatible with us. The great giveaway is a little trick. Get enough people to legally give away all of your rights. The ones that you're born with. And perhaps some elective ones. And again, in my opinion, as long as what you're going to do has no possibility of doing harm to others, then that should just be your right, the one you're born with. If a particular action that you're going to complete could hurt somebody, buying a gun, a little bit of regulation there to make sure, again, just like we would love to have politicians take a test to prove who the hell they are. You know, we seem to have, people becoming president where we don't even know their background. They seal their records. Their birth certificate's a hoax. That's okay, I guess. There's no qualifications for the individuals that steal all the stuff that should be yours by divine right. And I don't care if you're an atheist. This shouldn't rub you the wrong way. If you're an atheist, you just go, well, I would almost think it's even more simplistic for the mind if you're an atheist because you're just like, it's a mathematical equation that I should be left alone, that I should have freedoms. Once you bring in some King Arthur, Jesus Christ, Ku Klan thing, and that's the reason why you have to have it, then you have to sort out that story in a book over there to figure out what rights you're allowed and all this other stuff. But do no harm is a wonderful thing. But what is the inverse of losing all of your rights? Because this is where it becomes really important. At the roughly for me, it's about a halfway mark in the episode. It won't be halfway for you probably. You would get constrained, right? You'd get constrained into no rights. Forced medical procedures, forced taxation of everything they could possibly think of. If you thought the Golden Gate Bridge tax was bad, and one, look at every other bridge in the world that charges a toll. They tell you that line of crap, well, once it's paid for, the taxes will be done. Oh, well, we found another reason. Oh, we found another reason. This keeps going and going. It's the stretch and the squeeze. This is, You know, there's a word, Illuminati. I always mention it to you guys and preface it with the notion, we did not come up with that word. That is not our word. That is the word they came up with for themselves. They wrote a book, like the 1640s or something like that. Apologize if I have that off. Should be that far off if it is. Okay, well, that's their word for themselves. And in that book, I watched a whole documentary on this book many years ago, but they talk about the stretch and the squeeze. So you stretch out all of their resources to the point everyone's living on fumes, and then even the fumes, you start to regulate that breathing apparatus so people cough it up. What's happening right now? We're in the playbook of the Illuminati book. We've had our income destroyed by infiltrators. People who, again, I don't think could pass the basic immigration test. We have businesses that pretend like there are no problems in the world, meaning they're still charging you full amounts of money, even though you're not legally allowed in some cases to work at all. Because there are some careers out there where people just, it's getting a little better right now, but it's some people have completed about 10 months without any ability to earn income. They don't have a bunch of skills. They never were told as children, you better have 5 careers because when pandemics come around, you're going to have to switch to one of the other careers. And they need to be really diametrically opposed careers. So they're completely different sectors of the world. And you have to keep your skills 100% employable in those areas. Does that make any sense? Mm-mm. For instance, you can't just casually be, in my opinion, a coder on the side. You need to keep up. You need to practice. You need to have projects. You need to be assigned to things. You need to be challenged beyond your capacity to imagine a challenge. So that can't be a fallback career. It's got to be your primary career. Pick any other career with any technology in it, and that's going to be the case. If you put down electronics for a little while, a year passes, 2 years passes, and you want to pick it back up again, well, unless you have someone employing you for the legacy knowledge that you had, maybe as a niche or something, you're going to need to know the more recent stuff. So they have us leaned out. They're giving us ridiculously low stimulus checks. I have never received a stimulus check. Completely qualify for them. I've got a dead friend that got one, and I got a guy who's, many people who've never stopped working have collected all those checks, plus unemployment, a bunch of other stuff. And I'm not knocking those individuals. I'm just telling you how ludicrous the system is. You can't find the people that should get them. It's interesting. And the main group I'm talking about is friends of mine that are really suffering way more than myself. They need those checks. They need them. They're not getting them. It's crazy. There's a kid out there that did a video. A bunch of you have most likely seen it. He's calling himself, it's like _the_real_Samson_. And it doesn't have a P in it. I thought that there was a spelling that had a P in it, but it's S-A-M-S-O-N, Samson. And the kid does a rhyme about the fact that he is doing a rap, and he's this white kid in the middle of nowhere. He's like a Gen Zer. And he's out there saying, look, I work all day long. Apparently, like, repairs cars or something. And he said, you know, I come home and I'm scrubbing the grit out of my fingernails, and then I hold up my check to my friends and they laugh at me because they're making twice as much money as me living off the dole, living off the state, living off the checks. And he's like, they're making fun of me because I'm working really hard to earn nothing. He's right. 100% right. The game apparently is to bankrupt everyone on the planet for this economic reset, for this huge digital currency that's going to be coming our way. I've seen the leader of the IMF talk about it in meetings before this whole thing happened last year. And now we've had this bizarre 4 years in America. You will see that the intellectual conservatives are behaving like adults. What's interesting is all the ball babies on the other side are finally calming down, thinking that they've knocked it out of the park with an illegal selection process. No mention that we're behaving really well and that they behaved really bad. They just want to join your party as if they're intellectuals when they are the absolute inverse. They're flying the plane into the ground. They're giving away everything. It's the great giveaway. That's the phase that they're in. Depends on how young you are, how vested you are in this world, how many dreams you still have in your quiver that you'd like to live, things that are very important to you before you die, as to how this will affect you, how important this is to you. So let's do a little current event recap here, because I think you guys completely understand that, and you're good preachers of that information. So there was this weird movement that started in the tail end of 2017, grew bigger in 18, grew bigger in 19, even larger in 2020. There were all these commitments about what was going to take place. We were told a lot of conflicting information, you know. Sit back, watch the show. You don't need to do anything. Nothing can stop what's going to happen. And nothing's going to stop what's going to happen. And that's just an absolute statement of truth, right? Yeah, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Doesn't mean it's going to be what you think is going to happen or what you want. But you're right. I mean, this movement was right. A bunch of stuff's going to happen and you can't stop it. So the rumors, you know, I've done a fireside chat. I did a Limbo part one. Then I listened to both of them back after releasing the second one. And then I was watching new information and I realized that I don't have the right to be saying certain things the way I was saying them to create any type of false hope, even though there might be a really wonderful thing about to occur. I don't want to phrase things the way I phrase them. So this particular episode, we're going to button it up with a recap of what might be possible. But the quieter it gets, the less action that we see. And believe me, I know that these people are trying to look at every single video on planet Earth and every picture to try to extort another round of trust from us, the people. But just remember, there was that old, it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon invention, but I've seen it in film as well. I think Popeye used to do this. But you do the big wind-up. You're moving your right hand and you get the person you're boxing to look at your right hand. Look over here, look over here. And then you punch him with a left jab and you knock him out. Look over there while we do this to you over here. Now, what's funny about it is when I look back at all my episodes, it's like you didn't need this movement, dude, to really become awake and figure this stuff out. But the way that this guy, this group of people, potentially complete fraudsters, set this thing up was quite brilliant. It almost feels like an AI that was set up with this movement as part of its programming. And there was always a post by this leader of this group to say, wait till you find out who's talking to you. You're going to be amazed when you find out who's talking to you. And a lot of people thought that meant, you know, like JFK Jr. or, I don't know, somebody. That'd be like the only person that would be really like shocking. What if the answer is you're just listening to a computer set you up? They're testing it. It's some quantum computer that maybe has the ability to really, really, really emulate humanity at this point. Remember in my last AI episode I was talking about, and even in the quantum computer episode, as I explain what those computers are, you could have an AI teach an AI how to behave better, more human, by analyzing human behavior. Everything we're doing is digitized. Today was another one of these Facebook challenges to post an old picture of yourself and a new picture of yourself side by side, thus giving these AIs, these Minority Report computers, the ability to do analysis on your growth pattern. Facebook is all about face recognition. People give me all this crap about wearing sunglasses all the time. I'm like, that's a big part of the algorithm, isn't it? All he needs is a couple photos of you and they got you. So I'm in the system too, of course. Blind to what was going on before I woke up. So the big rumor is that the We know that the United States of America is both a country that's governed by the Constitution, but we also know that it's a corporation that operates under maritime law within the Washington, D.C. area, which is its own sovereign country. Just like the Vatican's its own country and London is its own country. The London one I didn't know, and I've heard this mentioned several times recently. So if that's an incorrect statement, it's only because I've heard it in the last 90 days. I knew there were districts that were like that, but I didn't realize they were saying the whole city's like that. And the fact that the Queen has to have permission to come into the city of London, I believe there's a place that she goes to get permission to go in. That sounds really weird to me because I was in London, went to Buckingham Palace, and I thought I was still in the same city, man. I don't know. Not going to claim to have a lot of knowledge of Britain. But there was a weird thing, and I think the year is 2019, but the FederalReserve.com, and I don't know if you guys remember, but .com means commercial property, commercial business, for profit, suddenly changed to .gov, which means it's a government-owned property now, which should be technically and completely impossible without some crazy eminent domain on your company. That is supposed to be an indicator that this United States of America corporation was dissolved during Donald Trump's administration. The Federal Reserve that creates our fiat currency can't remain a private for-profit corporation creating the money for a sovereign nation under a republic. Apparently, the last president of the United States that was elected was the 18th president of the United States, and everyone since then has been a CEO of this corporation, but we call them president and we put them in history books as such, even though technically they're CEOs. And quite frankly, they could be any position that you want to create in the corporation. You could call it president of the corporation. We just don't say Inc. after we say it, right? So this big thing has been hatched by this movement, although that dude hasn't posted anything since December 8th last year, which should tell you that group has been eliminated entirely. Whoever that group was, in my opinion, they were found and they were murdered, or the next best thing for them. I truly believe that. I would love to be wrong. Trust me. I'm not trying to be a buzzkill. But now we got some personalities that ended up showing up out of thin air. This gentleman who goes by the name of Juan O'Savin. Seems like a patriot. Definitely likes the limelight. I think Charlie Ward was the guy that said his real name, and I just wasn't paying attention, but it could be someone else. One of those other ones. But you have two Brits, Charlie Ward, and you have, which is he's an ex-hotelier, it looks like, he said. And you have Simon Parks, you have X-22, Red Pill, a bunch of these people. Good people, at least some of those names are genuinely good people. Some of them we're not sure because they keep talking about all this stuff that's going to be taking place or that is taking place. I think with the two gentlemen from Britain, they can just riff whatever they think is occurring, just like I'm riffing to you. 107 claims to be embedded in that movement. Simon Park says he's also talking with on an open line, which makes no sense at all, okay, with this individual, that individual who's the leader of that movement that we're talking about, calls him in England and has a conversation. I can assure you that's most likely not the case. Whether he believes that or not is a different thing. Reason being is that voice recognition would pick up on who this person is, and they would be just a minute or two before they would know exactly who that individual was by cross-referencing it with other suspects of that origin. So I don't buy it. I don't buy that this person is making phone calls to individuals in the world and not posting on Acoon. I don't believe it. Bunch of weird stuff's going on. Prime Minister of Italy, I think, resigned. They said, I've heard one rumor he was arrested. Okay, whatever. Don't know. Definitely some dude in the Italian courts admitted that the Leonardo satellites were definitely leased to the Vatican and used to steal votes from, literally, quote, Donald J. Trump over to Joe Biden. Okay. No international news on that one because that would mess up the plan. A bad one. Vatican lost all of its power. It was black for several hours. They say, oh, that means that there was some sort of raid on that place and a bunch of guys are in jail. Okay. The White House lost power. Probably the most mysterious, bizarre thing. See, I can't believe for an instant that the Vatican doesn't have backup lights, a generator. I don't buy that. That place has more treasures in it than any other location on the planet of this earth, except for perhaps buried in the soil of Egypt. Maybe. To be the only contender I could think of. The White House of the United States was black. And I don't know if this was something orchestrated, but you wouldn't want a very important home location, government building, to be dark because that allows infiltrators to physically get on the building. And I don't care how many gunmen you have and all this other stuff, it would make it more difficult to see them, even if you have infrared and all this other stuff. I'm sure that building's got insane security, right? And all of a sudden, there's a giant searchlight out front. The kind you use in a movie set to light the whole room, light the whole parking lot. Could have been in response to losing the power. We see weird prison buses touring all around D.C. with no imminent threat, right? Republicans don't do the stuff that the other folks do. So what's interesting is the sources that we're working from to make up this dying plan thing, right? Because they kept calling it the plan. And I just read a few minutes ago that Jeff Bezos just dropped out of being the CEO of Amazon, which, you know, I would too, man. Why not? You got more money than God. Just go and enjoy your life, man. No one's getting any younger. Why do you need to be a control freak? So that's cool. Someone's going to say it's part of the plan. Someone's going to say he's part of the arrests or whatever. Most likely not. So now the assertion is that the gentleman that just was technically kind of erroneously sworn in using what looks like a Hollywood set somewhere isn't actually the president of the United States. He has sworn himself into a dead corporation. There's ample evidence that they changed the camera feed as if he just simply put his hand on a book. They switched the feed and people behind him switched and two girls disappeared. I mean, I think that's really legit. And that he's actually on a movie set, not actually swearing in, not actually committing a crime that he's being accused of, technically. Probably got other crimes, perhaps. And that somehow between now, February 2nd, and March 4th, the previous president of the United States is going to be reinstated somehow, some way, may never go to the White House again, may never go to D.C. again, may never carry the name again of president, because there may be a better name for that that's a little bit more for the people, for, you know, by the people. I have no clue what you would call that besides maybe commander-in-chief or whatever. I don't have any problem with the P word. But yeah, somehow this is all going to be made a public through some emergency broadcast message. And everything's going to be great. It's a hell of a thing to ask people to have faith in something as pivotal as the Great Giveaway or the Great Awakening or the rebirth of this world. It's a heavy, heavy thing to do to another human being. It's very frustrating that it would have to be orchestrated as such. We are trying to fix a problem that at its most fundamental cause is secrecy. That JFK speech he gave apparently just a few weeks before he died about secret societies and the fact that we can't tolerate them and that good human beings would never want to be in a situation where these people could get things done through, quote, covet means. But what is the actual tactic right now of this Great Reset, supposed thing, right? This plan thing. It's by covet means. It's secret. Now, do we want to line up like the old British soldiers did in the Revolution and just get picked off by the Minutemen who were hiding in the shadows? Of course not. But I think that through just sheer mathematics of the command structure of the United States military, if they are truly still bound to the Constitution, if they truly don't want to marginalize the deaths of everyone that is, at least in their mind, died for the Constitution, regardless if the wars have been noble or not, orchestrated or not, they have enough power to go and do it right now, to not do it through covert means. To simply say, I don't think so. To arrest the supposed cabal of criminals when they were all in one place on one particular day. But then we get into the same formula of the people that tell us they can't admit whether or not we've ever made any contact with aliens because, you know, we can handle it. We can be randomly informed that aliens exist and be just fine. But you can't be randomly informed that aliens exist because you're going to go crazy, which is completely bunk. Completely bunk. I think it was Stanton Friedman who was in a special once, and they asked him once, what do you think would happen if they did make contact with humanity, aliens from another planet or another dimension or whatever? And I think it was him that said, well, people still have to pay rent. People still have to eat. They still have to educate their children. So life is going to go on just fine. It would seem like a big deal on one day, and then it would just temper down because people have to do what they have to do to survive. Would your stomach's not going to get hungry because you have photographic proof of an alien? Maybe even saw one in your neighborhood walking by. Hey, what's up? Nano, nano, man. Same thing applies to this plan that's supposed to be occurring, in my opinion. Okay, so a bunch of people got arrested. Evidence through surveillance and a bunch of other means, eyewitnesses, whatever. Them saying stuff illegal on TV. I don't buy it. I don't buy that they couldn't have gone with the original impression of the plan. So now what they're trying to say, like the 107 guys, and you know, that dude could be getting played as well. He could think he's connected to this movement. They could have played that guy for 3 years as a disinfo guy who literally believes everything he's told. Sort of an inverse formula of Project Mockingbird. As Rod Serling said in 59, his interview in 59, he says they're pre-censoring people. Explanation is find someone who believes all the hype and you don't have to indoctrinate them. They automatically gravitate to the hype. I will say this to you as a word of encouragement for really no rational reason whatsoever, which is I feel good for some reason. And I am by no means sold out to any of these notions of what they think they're going to be doing to the world. Do I have morbid curiosity of what that would look like and how the folks that will truly hate it will respond to it? Yeah, totally, right? These kids that can't be told what to do are ushering in an Orwellian world where getting told what to do will be exactly what happens. In my opinion, those individuals will, if this, you know, let's just say this, the sort of THX world shows up and it's nuts and it's fascist and all this other stuff, which is what they seem to love, even though they think they're against it. They will all be eliminated, either through self-elimination or the state will eliminate them because they actually can't handle what they've ushered in. And then those of us that are more rational and awake will be in a situation to either fight if we can or to tolerate it. So imagine that. The people that ushered in are gone. It's just like every time they took over a country in South America. The dissidents that helped overthrow the government, well, they go back to the country they came from, or they rot under the new totalitarianism that they didn't understand that they were doing because they had such small brains, they didn't know what they were doing. It's just indigenous. They're everywhere. Every country has this group of people, right? The implications of this whole pivotal moment in history is so unbelievably destructive to the entire planet that it is beyond my comprehension to understand if the plan didn't happen, if the United States military somehow stands down and allows this cabal to take over the place, it's literally the last play. It's the last paralyzing coup de grace takeout move. The military of the United States will be dissolved, but they'll also be told to fight a war at the same time they're being dissolved. Use up all the ammo, use up all the stuff. No one's going to, we're going to go back to the old post 9/11 stuff where we literally had to put together money to give to people so their kids could have body armor so they wouldn't die from a single bullet because they weren't funded. All the way during that whole Bush retaliation about 9/11, we were not taking care of our soldiers at all. But we're the richest country in the world. We're giving billions and billions off to other countries for stupid programs, and we're not protecting our soldiers. And what I keep telling you, they want our alpha males to go die in war. If nothing else, they just want them out of the country so that when there's some sort of physical takeover of the country, the homeland, they're not there. And our last president brought them all home to make sure they were here in case something occurred. Built it back up, funded them properly. For some reason, this sovereign country of Washington, D.C., probably has about $10 to $20 million worth of chain link fences with barbed wire all over them, soldiers walking around everywhere. There's two theories, of course. One, they're all being used to catch the bad guys, which, boy, you're certainly taking your time. Make sure they don't go too far. Our Congress went into recess, so they're all in their individual locations. Can't imagine that's a huge problem for finding them and arresting them if this fantasy comes true. Or they're supposed to be there because they're defending against an impending military action to actually do the plan, which doesn't make any mechanical sense because those troops would simply get a call from their commanding officer to step down, take a knee, while the other guys go in or assist. That doesn't make any sense to me. The former president has been extremely quiet, talking about creating a new party, talking about creating this new office of the former president of the United States. Never has said that he conceded. Never mentioned the other dude's name in a speech. We know that when Mr. Biden was leaving his inauguration, supposedly in the limousine headed over to the White House, the National Guard that was looking at him didn't salute him, but all the super active duty 10th Infantry guys didn't look at him, turned around and looked the other way, which initially was construed as, well, they're protecting that front, right? In case someone runs at the car from the other side. Well, there's no one allowed in that entire area. Place is all chained off. There are troops on the other side of the park, so I don't know how anyone runs on the soccer field naked. It's just not possible. So keeping your back turned seemed like a very strategic thing. It seems very encouraging if this thing is true or not. But what if it is all a big LARP? If the whole thing's been a lie? That means that a few of my friends who had that early concern about being lulled into a false sense of security for an immediate elimination at some future point in time is true. And what's really interesting about that is the friend that vocalized that to me, which I then shared with you guys in a previous episode, about be careful about this movement, because it could be that alternate, you know, plan, actually flipped about a year ago and thought, oh my God, this is actually real. They had seen a collection of things that occurred that made them feel like this was real, which was shocking to me, because I'm sort of on the fence. I mean, for everyone who's seen every single episode, you know I've been reaming this letter floating around the internet because it's like, it's time to poop or get off the pot, if you know what I mean. And I never saw any bowel movements the entire time. It is nice to see the internet become slightly nicer on at least Facebook for me. Twitter's still a place where the devil controls your soul, man. Second you touch that platform, you got a black apple pushed into your heart, trying to bait you into the worst version of yourself that you could possibly manifest. And then to lock your bad behavior in time. But there was a weird one that right after that January 10th event, the president's son did a video that said, where he's screaming into the microphone, "The best is yet to come." And he screams it again because his girlfriend or wife or whatever walks over and says, "That wasn't good enough." And so he yells it again. And then she says, "Still not good enough. Let me show you how it's done." And then she screams this thing. Well, I don't think there's any best is yet to come unless that January 10th event is actually illegitimate, because that January 10th event, if legitimate, authorizes enough power to upset the apple cart in a really bad way. God is apparently real important again in people's lives. People I know who have never been religious are now religious, and people who were religious are now calling, end times. Okay. At the same time, it goes back to that alien invasion or alien visitation, I should say, analogy, which is you got to eat, you got to make money. So until one or the other thing happens, we got to go on with our lives. We have to stop focusing on the negative, because you're going to be eaten alive by it. You're going to use that as an algorithm to attract bad things to yourself. You don't want any of that stuff. It's already hard enough, right? I get a lot of text messages throughout the week from very close friends of mine, both feeding me information that I haven't seen before and or coming to me to say, "What's the latest? What's going on? What do you think is going to occur?" Well, what's interesting about it is you probably have one of two of you listening, if you're in the same position I'm in. You've kept up on the information as best you can. The pundits that used to talk, well, one, a bunch of them got knocked off the platforms that you can watch through your television. So now you're watching it through your cell phone, you're watching it through a web browser. And they're starting to get silenced. A bunch of them are getting nervous. Some are, still hanging on for dear life. They've built up followers. They've been able to monetize aspects of what they do. And it's really strange because there'll be, I forgot that Dr. Steve guy. He's got a beard, kind of a slightly heavy set guy. He's written several books. He does a video every day, fully monetized. He has monetization inside his videos. And for some reason, they don't have any problem with that guy saying generally the same thing that the other people say. He's got hundreds of thousands of followers. There's guys with the same amount that have been kicked off. Salty Cracker's still there. I just don't know how they're picking and choosing who's a bad influence and who's a good influence. It does seem like this is the weirdest transition of leadership that I have ever witnessed in my life in this country or any modern country in my life. It seems like it's hollow. It seems like it's not real. It seems like if it were real, other more concrete things would be occurring. Now, it's one thing to sign a bunch of blank pages and then they tell you later what were on those pages, and let's say a pipeline was canceled. And so I've heard mixed stories about how that's going on. I've heard the video from the guy at the pipeline going, "Yep, we're all losing our jobs." I've seen four or five videos of guys now talking from their homes since they moved back to where they live in the United States. And then I heard a report that everyone's still going to work in a bunch of those places. They're ignoring the shutdown. Well, which one is it, man? I can't figure it out. I don't know anyone on the pipeline. We know it's a kickback for Warren Buffett, who put in around $58 million into the opposition group. And so he's getting his money back because they're going to create a carbon footprint now, moving oil on trains instead of moving it through a pipe, which is completely carbon free if it's built correctly, right? It doesn't spill anywhere. We're going to go from energy independent to energy dependent. The Green New Deal is getting a full-blown, full-throttle movement, even though it's practically on paper, financially impossible to achieve. guys in their 50s are being told to just find another job. As one gentleman said, he goes, look, I spent my entire life, 30 years of my life, becoming an expert at what I do. I have a lifestyle that aligns with the income that I can generate through this very specialized job that I have. And now the President of the United States just told me to go find another job, or that I can find another job. Well, sure, maybe he could find another job with, you know, I don't know, 60 million people looking for work in the United States. There's all these jobs supposedly available for these people. They're going to lose their standard of living right in their retirement years. Getting a job between 50 and 60, you better be a specialist. Between 60 and 70, near impossible. Near impossible in the United States of America. Can't take your full Social Security benefits, I think, until you're at least 70. Not enough to pay any bills, depending on where you live, because they always seem to give you a check just slightly smaller than what you need to survive. So then what? The stock market had this really weird thing happen with GameStop and AMC Theaters. A bunch of people are excited about it. A good friend of mine actually made some money off that. He didn't put a lot in, so he wasn't nuts or anything. He's just a normal guy. So good for him. But I'm going to tell you right now that one of the greatest scams on the average human being is this lottery ticket model of life, which is playing the stock market. These people have no money making money to get anything done that they need done. The money is created and immediately handed over to these investment banking houses, which then immediately invested in those gigantic corporations. They don't need any of your money. They like your money, but they don't need it. It's a mechanism to offer the world this, again, nonsensical system to earn money. And yeah, you may have had nothing but profit in these regions, and good for you, man. Good for you. Some of you might do like the day trader stuff where you're making microtransactions in minutes, buy and sell within 5 minutes, and to make a little bit of scratch here and there. But just like Vegas odds, the peasant, which is us, in their eyes, loses all of their savings, loses all of their money. They sort of bait you with this notion you can be like us, rich and powerful. Just give us your money and we'll be okay. There are famous cases where, and we, you know, once you realize this, you'll never put your money in those systems again, casually at least, where let's just say 100 people put their money into a company. Well, the company's not actually doing too well. And the insider trading, which is the way all of it's done at the investment banking level, they make the trends. They make it with news. They make it with rumors. They realize this company is not going to be generating much money in the next quarter to a year to 2 years. Maybe it's even going to be knocked out of business for some other functional reason. Maybe there's a lawsuit. Maybe their medicine doesn't work. Maybe their mechanical device doesn't work or isn't being used by the government contractor. So in order to bail out the rich, let's just say out of 100 people, 20 of them are rich people, and 80% of them are normal people. What investment banking houses have been caught doing multiple times, and believe me, this is happening every split second that you've been alive, is that they tell the 80%, if they don't already have permission to spend your money without your knowledge, because you just surrendered to them to manage your fund, your retirement, they take all your money and they give it to the 20%. Then they cash the 20% out. The rich get richer from the 80% money. And it may even be that the 20% that's invested is way more than 80% because they're richer. They don't lose any money. They break even and they get out. But usually they make money. Then the 80% that invested is going to be notified that they lost all their money. Maybe they give them a little bit of money and roll it over into something else, but for the most part, they got robbed. The stock market is not, in my opinion, a healthy way to move your money around. It's just not in the current financial system. If we reset the system to a sovereign system, a gold-backed system, if the republic were truly the way that America was run and all parties are dissolved, Because we don't need to be started with a divide. You don't need to start with the divide as much as you might think so. America was founded without the Democratic Party. In the 1830s, we had three things occur that were horrendous that have been ripping this country apart ever since. We had the formation of the divide, which is the Democratic Party. And to be honest, my statement in that realm is not that that they are evil at that point. It's just we didn't need to split it up to be an opposition government. It's romantic on TV. It's romantic if you want to think you have a different opinion than someone else and there's a party that's representing you. But it's unnecessary. Your elected officials can represent you without being on a different party. They simply represent you. Look at all the ridiculous stuff we have where the left aisle doesn't talk to the right aisle or the right side of the aisle. It's just romantic drama to make it feel like a government. So that was the 1830s. Then you had the Skull and Bones move into Yale University. Their charter was to take over the United States of America by all financial means necessary, which I believe is the same thing the Japanese general said to Patton or whatever the hell the guy was who took care of that on the boat. It's fair game for a foreign country. It's not fair game for an infiltrating company or a group of people, secret society. But we also got, out of the other party, this formation of a super racist group called the KKK, which I don't know if exactly off the top of my head was the issue. But we also had Andrew Jackson in there who defeated the banks. And he's about to be taken off the $20 bill for a very strategic reason, because he's to be erased. This sudden introduction of that energy became this force that we all had to fight in the United States. Your South was obviously very democratic, but not really. You had a bunch of European people move in, start plantations with tons of money, bought lots of slaves because they had tons of money, treated the slaves absolutely abysmal, creating this divide. They had their sort of militia group, the KKK, to take care of anybody who stood up against them outside of the law. So it's like the mercenary groups that the Vatican created during the Crusades. You know, the Inquisitions, I should say. So they were like, hey, it's not us. We didn't kill anybody. The mercenaries did. But this rose up. Lincoln continued Jackson's sentiments. He's murdered for it. We kind of vacillate around until about 1913, you get the 16th Amendment. Our money system screwed forever. Everything else has been a foregone conclusion. Democratic Party fought against blacks until the 70s, when in some random day of which they can't name, in a month they can't name, in a year they can't name, they switched. They switched, and also they're good people. But they also gave their hatred to the other group, which is the most illogical thing you've ever heard in your life. There's a party that has been pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good about sustaining human rights that are inalienable to you because you're born. And there's a group that has been judging you by the pigment of your skin. After this fabled swish in the 70s, those groups that were hated by this party were then exploited by that party for votes. But now, they don't need them anymore. Why don't they need them anymore? Because they got the voting system rigged. Why should I worry about getting you from your country to this country and all that negativity we have to spend our money on, all these fake promises we're going to make and campaign stomps? Well, now they don't have to say anything to anybody. Well, they might try to throw some crumbs at them in the next year or two, but overall, a lot of the black community is saying, hey, just replacing or putting Harriet Tubman on the 20 is not actually anything that we asked for. They're not criticizing it, but they're like, that's not going to cover your commitment to us. Do something for us. Don't hold your breath, man. Don't hold your breath. But it's amazing how many friends of mine that get indoctrinated into this stuff, and they'll sit there, and it's funny. I'll get in these conversations, and they're nonsensical conversations about, you know, the damn Yankees and all this other stuff. They just don't know history to save their soul. And when you start talking to them, you're like, okay, you're on the phone. I don't want to have a four-hour conversation about this because I don't even know if you'll believe me if I tell you the truth, like the KGB guy said in 85. So there are years and years and decades and perhaps a whole lifetime in the past believing propaganda the entire way because all they care about is being on the winning team. They don't know what winning means. Why? Because they support groups that burn down cities with no demands. Come on. If you have half of an intelligence and you're starting a party, go watch The Life of Brian. Okay? It's a comedy about a guy named Brian who was mistaken for Jesus. But irrespective of that controlling idea in the movie, go watch the first act or first half of the film where they're meeting. It's all the Python, so I can't say it's John here and John Cleese here and Eric Idle there, but they're all meeting to create these kind of sensitive movements. But they had demands. They had demands that they were writing down in this ridiculous comedy about their movements. Can't do this anymore to us. Can't do that anymore to us. We have equal rights here. Da, da. Hey, even in a comedy, they were smart enough to know that if you have a movement, you have demands, very strategic things that need to change because you understand the problem that you're complaining about. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an excuse to lash out, an excuse to give it all away. And because these are really low vibrations, super low IQ people, not necessarily bad people, in fact, quite frankly, good people in most cases, but just misled. They're giving it all away. And what I have discovered is two things. And I think I might have mentioned this in the other two episodes. But what I have surmised from feedback is that the young, 30 and under, they love the masks. They love all of this control, control, control. Because a child can call an adult and say, are you following all the rules? Because if you're not, I'm going to chastise you personally. And then I'll tell on you if I can. I get to control you because I don't control anything else, mainly my own life. So I'm going to kind of passively, aggressively punish you for creating such a crappy world. Because they think that you're a part of the problem. The other side is the folks that are within 10 years of their death. They're getting kind of loopy because they're old. But they just want someone to promise them on their deathbed that the world's a better place. Even if it's not, they don't care. Integrity and truth and honesty, those aren't factors that they consider on a daily basis. They've been swallowing so much propaganda, it's how they manage their lives. One of the things that I've been doing is just calling people out on it, you know, very nicely, but just saying, oh, I see. So we give up all these freedoms to get more liberty to give up freedoms, like, or to get freedoms. I mean, all this crosstalk and doublespeak. Meanwhile, we know that the thought police are gaining in number. It's still a pretty small number, but they control where you express yourself in a lot of cases. People will be able to articulate millions of reasons why a particular social media platform is bad, but they can't stop going to it every single day. We're guilty on this show. I posted a video on, 107 Daily, which is 107's new site. It was just a video. And a guy came in, he said, hey, this is a pretty good video, but it's still on YouTube. I was like, well, if I post it from BitChute, it does no preview for it because for whatever reason, the API for that sort of more pleasant viewing post, pleasant looking post, with a picture, as you can see what the hell you're about to click on, you can't do it. So we're all stuck to these platforms until they upgrade, which is very difficult. We know that there's a bunch of conspiracies against them to deplatform them. When it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. And when it looks like a totalitarian government, a socialistic, communistic move, it probably is. Just that simple, man. You don't have to do a bunch of research, man. It's just right there in your face. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I just want to advance the dialogue in your mind. I want to advance the sort of cause and effect models in your mind so that when you talk about this with someone, you come in at a very deep level where all of the low-hanging fruit stuff you might say, you don't say it because, one, they've probably already heard it anyway and it wasn't effective the first time. But two, you really want, if you want to affect change, you're going to have a slightly different message, a more effective message. And I think the greatest statement is the great giveaway. Maybe we should start hashtagging the hell out of that, man. Anyway, my, you know, if you guys will probably just ask me straight out, so I'll just give you the answer straight out, which is, you know, what is my faith that there's going to be a miraculous change in things? It's kind of a twofold answer. I think that there's people out there that are God-fearing people who appear to be backstabbers and treasonistic people. I have a suspicion that maybe some of those people, if anything good's going to occur, are actually pretending that they're moles. They're doing what has to be done. They're even taking it on the chin. Any of you familiar with Andre the Giant, the wrestler who did his last match with Hulk Hogan? It's all staged. We know that. It's entertainment. But if any of you watch the documentary on Andre the Giant, you'll know what what a mole has to do, which is Andre had to go on stage with almost a completely dysfunctional body at the time. His back was hurting. His knees were hurting. It was just, he was in a lot of pain. And Hulk Hogan had designed a fight such that it would take advantage of his more comfortable positions, standing up so they could have a fight. And he wasn't sure because Andre never confirmed with him that he was agreeing to this fight choreography. But when he got into the ring, one by one, every single thing that Hulk wrote down, Andre started doing. And so he realized, oh my God, he's going to give it to me. Because Andre was the hero his whole career, loved by the world, one of the most famous wrestlers ever live. But in order to give the baton to Hulk Hogan, they switched the narrative where he's a bad guy. And so he is finishing his career. And all the fans out there, the little kids that think it's real, and the other fans that just go along with whatever the funny story is about him, pretended to hate him or did hate him. But he was the sweetest guy on planet Earth who's going, man, I had to do this for my business. I can't do this anymore. My body doesn't work, so I hand it over. My other suspicion that is, again, I've already put it into words a little bit here, but let me put it right on point. It does not make any sense to me whatsoever that the military, at this stage, with the leadership they've had for 4 years, is going to lay down and let the Constitution be destroyed. I mean, gone. All those rights that you enjoy, gone. The economy that you've worked really hard as an American to build up so that you have a retirement, so your kids have a future, gone. I find that super duper hard to believe. It goes back to that analogy I gave you with Superman 1, the movie with Christopher Reeve. Ms. Kassbacher has Superman in the tank. She's got some kryptonite on his neck. He can't get out of the pool. There's two nuclear missiles that have been launched. One hit the East Coast and one hit the West Coast. And she gets down in the water with him and says, if you get rid of the eastbound missile where my mother lives, because that's where it's going to hit, and I'll take this off your neck. Then you can go get the West Coast one. But you got to get my mom safe first. So having no choice, Superman agrees. He goes and rescues the East missile, and then his girlfriend gets killed in the West missile. And he does something special to fix it, right? I just have a hard time believing that any commander in the military of the United States thinks that this cabal winning, destroying all the foundation of the free world, is somehow not going to affect that person individually, in addition to all their family members, right? I mean, if you think, let's say you have no one in military in your family, if you think that having a high-ranking military official in your family protects you, I mean, I think you're smoking something, man. Even if it was like, we don't really have any 5-star generals in the United States, but let's just say you had the most highly decorated general in your family. What could be the most that that guy could do to save the whole family? I mean, the family's a big thing. It's your wife, it's your kids, it's all your relatives, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, all this other stuff. What could they possibly do? get a bus and put you in it and take you to like some mountain in Colorado. Well, that's going to fill up really fast. What kind of future is that anyway? It's no future. I don't think they're that stupid. But if they do lay down, then what has been a very celebrated institution at times for supposedly fighting noble wars will turn into, with the patriotic people that have been empowering this institution since the beginning of this country to protect the freedoms, protect the Constitution, they will be suddenly the worst traitors in the world if this plan weren't to take place. They would. Because it's one thing to be the criminal that hatches a plan to destroy a country, but it's another thing altogether to have the training, the capability to quickly and peacefully, for the most part, short-circuit that sabotage, put the country back on its feet, and launch an era in the future of mankind that man is not experienced probably in 10, 20, 30,000 years. Let's just say pre-dynastic Egypt is a benchmark, or maybe they lived in some euphoric state of the maximum that they were able to do. I just find that super hard to believe. And as part of me is just kind of like, well, this is going to be an interesting ending to the movie either way, because this big, giant, mighty beast called the military-industrial complex is going to lay down and then forever be disrespected. You got a bat, you know, like today, if you see a soldier, you thank them for what they've done to preserve the country. You're proud of them. They're the best of the best in a lot of cases. And all of a sudden, to no really credit of their own, they were told to stand down while this takeover occurs. And I'm sure they've been told some story that that's a good thing when it's not. So I feel like something can definitely still happen. I feel like it's logical, but it sure is quiet, isn't it? There's the big thing about the 10 days of darkness and all this other stuff, and everyone's trying to figure out what those 10 days are. Well, I'm going to say we've had months and months and months and probably even years and decades and maybe even a few centuries of some pretty dark days. We got plenty of that. We don't need any more. It's time to nut up and get shit done, in my opinion. But who am I? I'm just an opinion in the backyard. Let me know what you think. Are you on the fence? Do you think nothing's going to happen? Do you think something's going to happen? What do you hope happens in the first place? Let's say that nothing happens from the military side and this coup takes over. What do you hope happens then? And let's say they do take over. What do you hope happens then? Don't know. We got two soldiers that walked into two different lounges, cigar lounges in Southern California, that said that Guantanamo Bay is preparing for royalty. They're prepping the soldiers to not soften up to these really rich people that are supposed to be in the newfound prison down there, right? It's not big enough to hold any measure of the United States population. There are a bunch of FEMA camps all over the place. Maybe those will get involved. That's difficult too. You're going to have a bunch of people fighting with guns and stuff. I find that super hard to believe. There's just not enough military to arrest the rest of the country, you know. 350 million people, and say you had a 2 million army. That's nothing. Divide 2 by 350. That's the percentage. Move the decimal two places. So anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, it'd be a good time to go and bookmark it. I am still at this exact point doing my research on IPEC GOAT. What's very interesting about the IPEC GOAT video, which again, if you hear me saying that and you like the show, go see it. IPEC GOAT 2. Just watch the original clip, so that when I do the episode, you'll have already seen it and you'll be ready to go. Because I'm going to tell everyone at the beginning of that episode, if you haven't seen it, this episode is going to make no sense to you. But the biggest and best videos that I've seen that have analyzed this perfectly are all been removed from YouTube. Or you can't find them one way or the other. You can even use DuckDuckGo. You still can't find any good videos on it anymore. You find these blathering idiots that, God damn, they just talked to themselves for 30 minutes before they even start the video. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So we'll get through it quick. And then we'll see what we have. Some interesting new conspiracies inside that video that I had not heard when it first came out. I think Alex Jones's response to the video is actually very suspect and very weird. He thought it was the greatest thing on planet Earth and that there was nothing, there's nothing satanic about it. He said, there's a dude at the beginning of the video with an S ring on his finger, which stands for Satan. He's a reptile hand and he's got the marionette cross, you know, with the strings going down, and he's holding it in his right knuckle, and his fingers bleeding down the wires. Yeah, Alex, there's nothing satanic about that at all. Really, really great journalism there, dude. I'm going to use a dirty word here. The world can suck really fast by a group of people, and this is where the dirty word comes in, because it's a phrase that describes these people, and they're called starfuckers. They do, I just had an episode where I talked about a guy that was doing this at Electronic Arts. He's bringing in some super bad individuals and surrendering all the power to these people because he wanted to say he knew people in Hollywood. So he's destroying the company because he wants to meet someone who was on a show once. I mean, whoop-de-doo. And this guy had met every famous athlete on planet Earth before he started capitulating like this. So it's this weird addiction he has to being, hey, I'm somebody. I know this famous person. Believe me, there's nothing to that game. Nothing to that game. You are still you. They are them. Yeah, you go to a nice party or whatever. Big deal. It's over and you still got to go home. Still got to be you, you know. So I think part of that was occurring in Alex Jones's coverage of this thing. But yeah, there's been a lot more revealed about the individual who made it, and so that's good too. So we should have some fun with that. But again, deepthoughtsradio.com. It's got everything you want on there. For those of you who are donating to the show, I always want to say thank you very much. There's a Patreon. Without you, the show really doesn't go on, to be honest. So I appreciate every single one of you. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.